Thank you so much for last Tuesday. We talked about remember Lot's wife. And I thank God that he moved in a great way in that service and that altar call. As you're standing, let's go to Romans 1, verse 16. Romans 1, verse 16. If you have it, say amen. Amen. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile, or to the Greek, as King James. But one part I want to focus on is, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Let's ask God to help us tonight. Lord, I thank you for what we feel in this place right now. And God, I pray that you would touch me, Lord. I just want to be a conduit tonight. God, use me for your glory. God, help me, Lord, to bring forth what you have given me. And God, we give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone say amen. You can be seated. First of all, for those that, if you listen to the news or follow anything, we're on the eve of September the 23rd. Tomorrow is supposed to be doomsday. So, I didn't want to bring a fearful or God's coming back, you better be ready kind of message, which you should be ready. But man doesn't know the hour which he cometh. So if everyone's expecting him tomorrow, guess what? I want to let y'all know he's not coming tomorrow. So rest assured, as Y2K was a huge thing, we all sat there and it hit midnight and it hit 12:01 and we kept looking around. My computer was still working. Everything was working just fine. But there is a lot of things happening the end of this month. I wouldn't want to be naive about what is going on. I do believe we're in the end times. This has nothing to do with what I'm going to be talking about. But, and I'm not a prophet by far at all. I don't have any authority in any of that kind of stuff or even expertise. But it is interesting that the Pope is here for the first time ever. He stepped on U.S. soil just a few hours ago, and he's going to be talking to the joint staff. He's going to be talking to Congress, and I don't know, I think that's significant in some way. It's part of the end time. Also, Napoleon's thing, you know, all the different things. If you start reading on it, I mean, there's like 25 different things supposed to be happening this week. And I just want you to know, don't be fearful, is all I want to say. Because we don't live our life by fear. We live our life through the power of Jesus Christ. Amen? So that's just my two cents on that. I've been hearing it all over the place. I had people ask me, do you think God's coming back tomorrow? I was like, no, I really don't. if he does, awesome. That's great. We'll meet you up there. But I don't believe he is. But anyways, tonight I want to talk about the gospel. I thought that would be a good subject to talk about on the eve of doomsday. Let's talk about the gospel. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. See, there's a story is told about a man in Europe who sought to free his family from the pain of poverty that they endured. Little by little, he scraped and saved his money till finally he had enough for the cheapest fare on a boat sailing across the ocean to get to America. He and his family made their way on the boat and to their area underneath the deck. And unfortunately, this man had made a huge mistake, because in packing for his family and preparing for their departure, he had forgotten to pack food for their family. Men, that's why I always say let the women pack. because the women are not going to forget anything. And if they do forget it, it's our fault. So apparently this guy didn't know this yet, but I have my wife pack, and then I'll spend 15 minutes getting my stuff together while she spent 3 days getting everyone else's stuff together. But granted, we have three daughters and her, so you can only imagine half the van is luggage. So anyways, so to make matters worse, they're down there in the deck, and they can see up above, and they see all the first class passengers enjoying basically three hefty meals a day. And after 2 weeks have gone by of no food, and with his family starving, and they're close to death, and desperation finally kicked in, as any man would do, he made his way to the top of the deck of the ship and found a worker and asked her, "Hey, excuse me, miss," he said, "I know I'm out of line, and I know you'll probably say no, but my family is starving, and I know you serve just to the people with first-class tickets, but can I just get some crumbs? Can I just get something from the leftovers to feed my family?" And get this, the lady was shocked and said, "Sir, the meals we serve each day on the top deck are for all of our passengers. You could have been eating this whole time, but no one told him. He did not know that he could be eating. He did not know that the food was for everyone on the boat because no one told him." You see, the gospel is open and available to anyone who will accept it, but they have to be told about it. And that's where we come into play. You see, the gospel is the greatest message of all time. I mean, the Holy Bible is still the number one selling book of all time. And in the gospel, we find what? We find the light of salvation. Amen? But as a church, based on research, 557 churches, basically from 2005 to about 2014, this study was, it said that 9 out of 10 churches in America are declining or growing at a pace that is slower than that of their communities. Simply stated, the churches are losing ground in their own backyards. So another way of looking at it is basically about 2/3 of the builder generation. What is the builder generation? That is those born before 1946. They all consider themselves Christians today. However, 15% of the millennials, who are basically my generation, they're born from 1980 to 2000. So I was born in 83, so I'm one of them. And we have all but lost basically my generation, because only 15% of us declare ourselves to be Christian. So do we blame it on the secular culture we're in? Or we blame it on maybe the godless politics of our nation that we're currently seeing? Because we do all that so well, it's easy to point the finger at someone else. But I'm proposing that we who are the church members need to look in the mirror ourselves. And I'm suggesting that congregations across America who, you know, they're weak because many of us church members have lost a biblical understanding of what it means to be part of the body of Christ and what it means to spread the gospel, what it means to come to church. What does it mean to come to church? It doesn't mean I come to church 20 minutes late so I can sneak in, hope they play my favorite song, and it's all about a me attitude. And the problem is, that's what's happened to this generation, is it's all about feeding me, myself, and I. There's no serving attitude whatsoever. And, I mean, that's sad to say that. And I'm part of that generation. But he placed us in church. He's placed us in churches to serve, to care for others, to pray for leaders, to learn, to teach, to give, and in some cases, basically to die for the sake of the gospel. How many would die for the gospel today? I'm going to raise my hand. I will. I have no problem, because to die is to live in Christ, right? And I know I just got on record saying I don't mind dying. I really, really do not mind. I'm not going to forsake what I know is true. Why is that? Because I'm not living off of my mom and dad's coattails. He's my God, not my parents' God. That's why I can stand here and say, yes, I will take a bullet if it means not denying Christ. And guess what? It's happening today. There are Christians all over the Middle East being slaughtered right now as we speak for the name of Jesus Christ, because simply they believe in Jesus Christ. And it's, don't be naive to think it won't come here. One thing I thought was crazy, well, a couple of my friends were talking, and we're like, I wonder if the lighthouse is going to be lit up in rainbow colors again with the Pope coming in. And it's okay, you can laugh, we're joking around. And one's like, they said one epistle leader that they invited is an open gay minister. Another was a transite something, I don't know. But anyways, the president actually invited them in with the Pope and them saying for them not to do it. Well, they did it anyways because they want to have a photo op with the Pope to show a photo to let it be seen that the Pope is okay with this type of lifestyle, which he says he's not. So, I mean, that's just one thing of our great president that he's doing. Anyways, I'm not going to get off on that. But we got to spread the gospel. We got to spread the gospel. It is up to us. If we want to see the building full, we have to spread it. We have to tell it. Pastor can't go around to 6 million people in Houston and knock on every door and say, hey, do you know Jesus Christ? He is the Lord, your Savior. He can redeem you. He can save you. He can get you out of the mess you're in. He can't do that by himself. I can't do that by myself. So if we can all just, within our communities, if we can reach out to our next door neighbors, if we can reach out to our people at work. I know I've said this before, but God has been stirring it in me that, you know, we keep saying revival and we believe and we're in it and it's begun. But God's like, hey, the harvest is there. You got to go get it. You got to go retrieve. You got to go get the harvest, bring them in here. We're not just going to sit here doing what we're doing and the door's going to open and all these people start coming in. We're like, well, bless God. Isn't God good? And we didn't do anything. God doesn't work that way. As I said, the gospel is open and available to anyone who will accept it, but they have to be told. The gospel promises us that we can have freedom from our sins because of the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. We sung about it Sunday night, the freedom. No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage. I am free. And it's true. You can be, if you do not have the Holy Ghost tonight, you can be free tonight in Jesus' name. All you got to do is what? Repent of your sins. Make a 180 turn of what you're doing. Be baptized in Jesus' name. And be filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues. It's that simple. It's really that simple. You just have to believe. You see, sin does many negative things in our lives. We all know that. We know that sin separates us from God. We know that sin isolates us from people. Sin infiltrates our lives in small ways. And then sin also decimates our future. I mean, that's what the devil does. He's a roaring lion seeking who he may devour at any moment. If you give any side of yourself, he's going to get in there. And then before you know it, you're going to wake up and you're not in church. And you're going to wonder, what happened? Well, it's a slow fade, as I said last Tuesday night, that we got to remember a lot. Well, we got to tell people about the gospel. Revelation 22:17 says, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. The invitation for salvation is open. We also sing that it's free for all. Over every limitation, It's free for all. It doesn't matter if this is your first time in church tonight, or if it's your 50th time or 360th time. It still applies to you. It does not matter if you have a past of which you are ashamed of, because God still offers salvation to you today. Isaiah 55, 1 through 2 says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest affair." So according to Isaiah, salvation is something that is available to anyone who will come and receive it. But who paid the price? Jesus did. Jesus paid the price. He is what? He's the bread of life. So if you go back to Revelations 22:17, where in the very beginning of that verse it says, "The Spirit and the bride say come." So as you notice, that God is not the only one who is calling for people to come to salvation. Well, who else is calling for people to come? According to this scripture, the bride is calling as well. Well, who's the bride? It's the church. So the church is supposed to be calling as well. That is to say, we who have already experienced the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ must join Jesus in sharing the good news. See, we are ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." According to this verse, what are we called to be as a church or as a people? Ambassadors for Christ. Well, what does an ambassador mean? Well, God's plan to get the word of reconciliation to the people who are lost is us. That's our responsibility. We are God's plan to get his gospel to a lost world. If we have been given such an incredible task from God, what are some things that can hold us back from accomplishing his purpose that he's given us? Well, in Jeremiah 1:8, I want to first say, "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." What do you think Jeremiah was instructed not to fear the faces of the people? You see, sometimes it's easy to let fear stop us from sharing the gospel with people. No one wants to feel like they are an outcast. No, everyone wants to feel that they're part of community, that they're accepted. No one wants to be rejected. I mean, that's like the number one thing you don't want to experience, right? And the devil knows that. So when you go to work and you're at the water cooler filling up your water jug, and Bob comes around and you feel feel something inside you saying, "Hey, man, Sunday night was some awesome church." To see what he says, but instead you said, "Oh, well, how was your weekend?" And he talks about the football game. Which, who cares? We're 0-2, so not much to talk about. So then you're like, "Well, I had a great weekend too," and you go about your business. Well, that could have been an opportunity where he said, "Well, man, you know what? I wish you would have been at church with me, because it was awesome. God moved in a mighty way, and he blah, blah," and you can just go on and on about his spirit and what God did, and he'll say, "Well, what are you talking about? I mean, the church I go to, we kneel 500 times up and down, you know, and sing the same song every service. So what kind of church are you talking about?" And once again, you can say, "Well, that's religion. I'm talking about a relationship. You want to have a relationship with Jesus? Come to church with me on Sunday." And that seems pretty simple, doesn't it? But the devil will put it in your mind that Bob doesn't want to hear about church. He's not ready. He's not wanting to give up drinking. He's not wanting to do... Just leave him alone. And so we go about our business, go about our day, and we don't mention anything about Jesus Christ to anyone because we think no one wants to hear about it. I mean, is that true? It's happened to me many times. I'm talking to myself tonight as well. Sometimes we can allow mistakes from our past keep us from reaching out to others because of our own past. We allow Satan to lie to us and tell us our past mistakes disqualifies us from being a witness to others. And that's a lie, because you've been bought with a price, right? You are God's child. So yes, you can witness to anyone. It's your testimony. What God has brought you out of is a testimony. So the opposite is true. The most powerful thing you can do in sharing the gospel is to share with others your personal testimony of what God has done in your life. This is something I want to do, to put on the website. I'm wanting to get some of our men that are great men. I mean, they look like they've been in church all their lives, but, you know, Brother Garcia, he has a past. There's others here that they have a past. And I think it would be wonderful if we got it on tape and put it on the website and showed people that, look, we're not all perfect. We look great now, but you should see what God has brought us out of. And that builds faith. That builds, well, hey, if God did it for you and he's no respecter of persons, that means he can do it for me. And who would not want to get out of their mess? The world is looking for Jesus. They're looking for the answer, and you have it tonight. Revelations 12:11 says, they triumph over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their life so much as to shrink from death, because your testimony is a powerful thing. Do not be afraid to tell your story. No one can argue with your story. Why is that? Because it's your story. It's what God has done for you. And trust me, they'll see the sincerity in your eyes, the sincerity in your voice, and they will know. They'll feel something when you're talking. And they're going to say, you know, I want to come experience that. Because it's something that the world can't give them. They have it in so many different ways. The devil's tried to, you know, to with drugs and alcohol, and try to get them away from where they're at, and they can go off in la la land, but they have to come back. Well, with Jesus Christ, guess what? He forgives you. It's washed away and it's gone. It's no 12-step program with Jesus. Amen? Amen. Sometimes we have trouble reaching out to others because our lives at the current moment are not perfect either. You know, we feel inadequate to tell others about Jesus because we are still facing problems ourselves. Despite our imperfection, God wants to use each and every one of you. No matter our background, no matter the mess in our past, no matter the history of our lives, no matter the current place in your lives or whatever is going on, God has a plan to make our story a testament to his greatness, to his grace, to his mercy, and to his love. That is the testament that we're trying to give to the world, that he is great. His mercy is everlasting. He's an awesome God. He loves you. He died for you. And there are still people in this area that has never heard of Jesus Christ. It's sad to say, but it's true. There are a lot of people in Houston that don't know who Jesus is. The question we must answer is not whether we have a story to tell, because we all have one. But will we tell that story? Will we take the bold and scary, and sometimes it may seem to you a dangerous step, to share your story? Will you take the chance that some people will not believe you, or some will not accept you, that not everyone will identify with or understand you? Will you take the chance because you know that God has someone who needs to hear what he's done in your life? You see, you went through the trouble you went through so you can tell someone else about that. God allowed you to go through it so you can share it and let others know that you don't have to be alone. You don't have to go through it alone. That he's there right by your side. We don't know much about the woman at the well, but we do know this. She understood the power of her story. And Jesus wanted her to go to her friends and family and the neighbors surrounding her and tell them all about her story. You see, her village knew who she was. They knew she was not a woman to be trusted or a woman to be admired. But when she met Jesus, she knew her village needed to meet him too. Telling her village was not up for debate in her mind. It wasn't a choice. It was they have to know. Meeting Jesus was not a story that could be contained. So despite the risk, despite the ridicule she knew was going to come, she ran to her village and told them the story about how she met the man who knew everything about her. And her village was never the same after she told her story. Who knows, your workplace may never be the same after you tell your story. The person sitting on the bus next to you may never be the same once you tell what God has done in your life. You may even feel like you're someone that is ignored or maybe disliked, but God believes everyone is special and everyone is unique and everyone has a story God wants the world to hear. See, if we were all the same, it'd be a pretty boring world, but we're all unique and favored. And rather than avoid opportunities to share our story, we should seek them out. Rather than viewing our story as maybe it's too plain or maybe it's too embarrassing, I don't want people to know that about me, maybe it's too argumentative or someone's going to be offended, bless God, we don't want to offend anyone. We should be proud to share how God has changed our lives. And we shouldn't be ashamed of that. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus, he used just a common conversation, like very mundane conversation about water, to lead to profound spiritual truths. We don't have to bring our friends and family to church to talk about God, though yes, we want you to bring them to church, but talking about faith and God can and should be a regular feature in our conversations on a daily basis. Notice that Jesus did not just live a good life and hope that someone would ask him why he was different. He didn't try to live like a Christian and then hope that someone would ask him about God. He didn't just invite people to the synagogue and hope the local rabbi would take care of things. Jesus took the initiative. He started a conversation with a stranger and quickly turned the focus of that conversation to the gospel. The conversation started off with Jesus basically being thirsty and needy. Sometimes we as believers, we give off the vibe that we have all the answers and do not have any struggles or we don't need anything. You know, going needy into a situation, admitting a weakness or being honest with doubts and struggles, or even just asking for people's help are often some of the best ways to start a godly conversation. It's a lesson we can learn from Jesus himself. Introducing godly conversations does not have to be an awkward or a difficult thing. It can be as simple as asking someone if you can pray for them. You see, the world doesn't mind throwing Muslim down, on us like, oh, don't talk about Muslims because we don't want to offend anyone. And I don't want to offend Muslims either, but I have just a right as they do with their religion. I have the exact same right to do what I want to do with my religion. It shouldn't be predicated, oh, well, he's a Muslim, so just let him go do with it. Like, well, I'm a Christian. I mean, at work, oh, this is online too. Well, anyway, at work, there's a Muslim prayer room, and it's a big old sign. I mean, it's on the main walkway, huge thing, Muslim prayer room. There's been times I wanted to open the door and just yell Jesus and run, but I haven't. But anyways, it's a huge sign. And I mean, and that thing, I mean, it's a revolving door, man. I mean, people are constantly going in, and we have therapists that go and pray, and we honor that because it is their religion, so we let them go and pray. Well, one day I told my boss, well, I'm going to go pray. She's like, where are you going? I said, well, I'm going to go pray. She's like, well, no, you got to get back to work. I said, well, Mustafa, he gets to go pray. I said, I'm going to go to the universal prayer room and go pray. I've been in there. It's a very quiet room. I think the lady was sleeping over in the corner. Better Garcia knows what I'm talking about. It's still under construction. I was like, where's our temporary one? Anyways, it's about to open back up. But yeah, I mean, it's okay to stand up for what we believe in. I mean, why not? I mean, they want to push everything else down our throats. Why not? Well, hey, well, I'm a Christian. You have a problem with that? You know? Yeah, I want Good Friday off. Why? Because it's my holiday. No, I'm just playing. He went and walked all over the Middle East. I want to have one day, please. Anyways, maybe you feel like the woman at the well. Maybe you feel you've done terrible things that you don't want people to know about. Or maybe you still have some areas in your life you're working on. Maybe there's still some sin in your life, and you need to get back to God. You need to repent again and get the Holy Ghost again. Because guess what? We have to die daily. Paul said we have to die daily because of this flesh. This flesh it's not something to play with. We have to put it under submission, amen? So, you know, we may have bad relationships, you know, bad habits that we're still trying to kick. But God still wants to use you. He's not looking for a perfect person to use. If you ask God to be a conduit, and that's what I want to be, is a conduit for him, just for something that God can use, that he can flow through, God's going to honor that. He wants to work through you. You were created in his image. The whole reason why he created you is he wants to see you make that decision to worship him. Amen? So what circles of influence has God put you into? There's a reason why you're at where you're at. Where has he planted you? Think about it. Are you the only one name apostolic person there? If you are, I wonder if God did that on purpose to see, well, what are you going to do about it? If we can stand. You see, one woman's story became the spark that brought the whole town to Jesus. It may be your story that brings maybe your entire office to church. Who knows? But it's that story. It's the tool that God used to bring his message to a lost world. Is he's using us to go and spread the gospel. What will God use your story for? Who will God touch using your story? It begins with you sharing that story, spreading the seed of the gospel. All he asks is that we spread it, and God's going to do the rest. The reality is, we are not presenting ourselves to people. We are presenting Jesus Christ to people. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says, Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. You see, we comfort others with the comfort God has given to us. Don't let your own problems stop you from reaching out to others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What are the excuses in your life that you have been using to keep you from reaching out to others? How can we overcome these excuses? Well, we can overcome by, first, let's make a commitment together tonight to share the gospel with someone this week. Before Sunday, I encourage you, invite someone to church. They may be sitting there wondering, when is he going to invite me to church? I'm sitting here, I'm just wondering, when is he going to invite me? There are hungry people out there, hungry people that want to know the truth. They're just waiting on someone to share it with them, someone to open up and to tell them who Jesus is. I wonder if we can all just come around the front just for a few minutes. It's only 8:28. As always, I try to be mindful of your time on a Tuesday night. But let's ask Jesus to help you tonight, to guide you, to lead you to the right people. Because there are people that are hungry. And I believe that God can direct you to those people. And that you can be a light. God is waiting. God is waiting on you. He is waiting on you tonight. You see, biblical principles are to give. They're to give, to serve, to work, to seek, to desire, to be consistent, to strive, to run with patience, to get back up, to press for the mark, to study to show oneself approved, to be a workman that need not to be ashamed of his hire. That's the principles we should be living by. God is waiting on you to see, is he going to spread my gospel? Is he going to tell people what I brought him out of? Because we all know that there's nothing too big, nothing too small that God cannot do. There's not a drug dealer out there. There's not a gangster out there. There's not a murderer out there that can't be saved. Why is that? Such were some of you. That's how we know that. Such were some of you. How did you get to know Jesus Christ? I bet you someone told you about him. I bet you someone either brought you to church or maybe a bus picked you up. But someone told you about Jesus. You weren't born and all of a sudden you knew who Jesus is. Someone told you about him. So guess what? Now it's your responsibility to go tell someone else about Jesus. I wonder if you can lift your hands right now and just for a few moments, let's ask God to help us. Let's ask God to give us a boldness, to give us the right words to say, to help us to put us in the right situation at the right time, that we could show his love, that we could show that he cares for them, that he is the God, that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that he is the Redeemer, the Savior, the light of the world, the Alpha and the Omega, that he is the beginning and their ending. Hallelujah. Worship him just for a